So I'm here now on the GUADEC 2006 in Stuttgart, and I'm sitting here with Miguel de Icaza. Is this
very good.
Yeah? And yeah, he is founder of GNOME. Mm-hmm. And so what was your intention when you founded GNOME?
Oh, well, we wanted to create a completely free desktop environment, right? So at the time, Linux was a fairly successful operating system on the server, and we wanted to bring the same kind of features, the freedom, the innovation, and all those things to the desktop. But to be able to do any of that, you need to have a core basic desktop working. So the intention behind GNOME was that. So now this project has, of course, exploded into many directions, and now it does a lot more than we ever thought it would do. So it's very nice.
What do you think are the potentials of GNOME?
Well, I think that as I was talking today in my presentation, there's a number of big opportunities. We can bring the concept of free software to companies. We can bring that concept to a lot of governments. Companies are tired sometimes of viruses problems or security problems or the cost of Windows licenses in some cases, right? Governments are more interested in national independence, in not having to send all this money outside of their countries, in particular Latin American countries and underdeveloped countries. And that's where you see a very big adoption of Linux on the desktop. So I would say that today those are two interesting markets. Of course, we want to reach the whole population, but we understand that it might be tricky to get people to switch from an existing and working installation.
But I think it works. Here in Germany, some cities also mm-hmm. migrating, like yeah. some cities here in the region of Stuttgart, but also Munich and so on.
Yeah, well, I mean, yes, you in fact, you are probably the only developed country that is doing that at the government level. Pretty much all of the other open source adoption is happening in less economically developed countries, right? So you got Spain, which is a big user. So it's another European member. But the other big deployments are things like Asia or Brazil, Chile, Argentina, Mexico, Peru. So it's kind of the view from there. It's more a matter of economics and a matter of national independence.
What do you think? GNOME is better than KDE, or like in other desktop environment, or not better? What makes it better in some ways, not completely?
Well, you have to understand that GNOME and KDE, they're just a little piece of the puzzle, right? Either one of them. So we try, of course, to make our piece of the puzzle very nice. But you really, when you're talking about the Linux desktop, you have to talk about OpenOffice. You have to talk about Mozilla. You have to talk about, PDF browsers and things like that. So it is not a single component. Now, GNOME and its related technologies, we feel in one hand that we have, on the technology side, we have a couple of technical advantages which have to do with licensing. So that's why you see Macromedia or VMware or Adobe adopting GTK as their developer platform, right? So which are the GNOME libraries. And on the other hand, I think that since we were always late to the game, GNOME had to focus more its energies, right? So today I made a joke on stage, but the point is that GNOME, I think, has focused more on usability. And GNOME focused actually in three things around 2000 when we created the GNOME Foundation. So basically, we got the input from Sun. We had this company called Easel, which had a very strong background on usability. And they were all ex-Apple employees, right? And they basically permeated and impregnated this community with a couple of concepts. So from the Sun was very was extremely focused on creating a developer platform, on a stable AVI platform that would run forever, right? They don't want to be changing APIs every year. So a very strong sense of if you write code today, it will continue to work tomorrow was embedded into the technology, right? It's very strong. Number two is accessibility, which is a requirement for selling software to the US government, right? It needs to be accessible, which means that for people who have some kind of impairment, either they have no vision or they cannot type or for whatever reason, right? So you need to add extensions to the desktop so you can control it by voice or the machine can tell you through audio what's happening, right? Or you can control it with special input mechanisms or braille keyboards and things like that. And the third piece was usability. So these three things, I think, were a big focus of GNOME in 2000. And we took a path of fulfilling those three things, while KDE took more of an approach of adding more features. It became more of a power user desktop, right? So if you're a power user and you want to be able to customize everything, then KDE is probably better for you. We're actually thinking more about end users, more about not the Unix programmers, but more about people who are not programmers, right? And I think that shows with these big deployments.
Okay, where do you see Linux and GNOME in maybe 10 years or something like that?
Wow, I don't know what's going to happen next year, but I think that right now there's a very big opportunity. There's a very big opportunity because it's not clear to me that people will upgrade that not everybody or every company or every end user is willing to install Longhorn or install the new versions of the operating system. So there's a very large base of computers today that will soon, I mean, they're either going to get stuck with an old version of Windows. Windows XP is going to become old. And we have a lot of really innovative technologies coming on the GNOME desktop and in the Linux desktop in general. And it is an opportunity for these people to jump to a new platform, right? So it's not only more secure and you don't have these viruses problem, but there's also a lot of eye candy and a lot of the innovation that comes from mixing millions of people in this world, right? All across the globe contributing to this effort. So I think we have a big opportunity, and I think that we can reach a large chunk of this market. Whether it's going to be in 10 years, it's hard to predict. But I think that we're gonna get a chunk of the market.
And where will you be in 10 years?
Well, I don't know. I have big plans for traveling around the world. I haven't fulfilled those yet, but my plan is to spend a year in every country before I die, so I have to get moving in there.
Ooh. I don't think you will travel to all. That's impossible, I think.
I'm working. I'm on the case. I'm on the case. I'm very sloppy, but I'm on the case.
So how is it here in Germany? You like it or not so?
Oh my God, this city is beautiful. I mean, the weather is just perfect.
Yeah, okay.
I'm coming
but
from...
it's not every day, so...
No? Well, it is really nice. I really like this. This conference center is really nice. Also, I really like the main street where we're staying very close to. There's all these little restaurants and all these stores, and people seem to be having a good time. I also think that what is interesting about choosing a city for a conference is if you choose a very important city with a lot of attractions, then people who come to the conference feel guilty if they don't go see the attractions, right? So if you make it in Paris, then people are going to be, oh, I have to go see the Tour Eiffel, I have to go to Montparnasse, I have to go to the Louvre, right? So they feel guilty if they don't go too. But if you come to Stuttgart, you have there's a couple of attractions, but you don't feel guilty if you don't go. So you can come to the conference in the afternoons, you can enjoy the city, right? But you don't skip like 3 days of conference to go visit things, right? So I think it was a fantastic choice. And the city is beautiful. I mean, I didn't know it was this nice.
Did you see something like something here in Stuttgart?
I haven't seen much. I mean, we've walked around downtown a lot of times ever since we got here. I missed the exploration to the nearby city that people went to because I was on a meeting all day. But what I've seen is fantastic.
Okay. How is it to be such an important person in the open source scene for you?
I'm not an important person, so you might think that, but it's just like, I mean, I would say that everybody in this room is extremely important, and within each one of its communities, because GNOME is basically, it's not even at the center, but it's what glues some of these communities together, and each one of these hackers is highly respected in its own community. So to me, it's an honor to come here and be able to meet all these guys, because each one it's a luminary in its own world, from the Mozilla world or the GStreamer world or the Emendio guys or the Fluendo guys and these guys doing the mobile stuff. So every one of them is a star on its own little thing. So it's really nice. This conference is just getting better every year.
So you love it to be in such conferences like here?
Well, you know what? at the beginning it was very nice because you got to see your friends.
Yeah.
Then there's a stage where you've seen your friends but you don't see any more people, right? It's just the same friends. And there's no industry happening. And what has happened in the last 2 years is that we've gone from only being the friends, that was like, well, it's the same people every year, to come to these conferences and it's different people. There's a big growth, right? You see all these companies getting involved, all these tiny companies being created around GNOME, all these conferences happening around the globe. So they're starting to become a lot more relevant. So it is a lot more interesting than it was 2 years ago. I mean, it was good 2 years ago. It was good to see your friends, but today you see that there's a lot more depth. Like the talks that we're getting at this conference are very solid.
Okay, what are you missing in Linux or in GNOME?
So I don't think that I'm personally missing things because I've been working on Linux for so long that it's kind of my environment. So everything just works the way I want it. That's why I'm still running old versions of my own software, because I don't bother to get the latest and greatest feature. But the reality is that we have to understand that we want this to be a successful desktop for other users, right? And we have to see what are the problems that these people are facing. And so that's why it's important to do usability testing on one hand, to talk to actual people who are doing the deployments, like Extremadura and Andalusia, talk to customers who are buying these things and listening to what their complaints are. So from a personal standpoint, I'm happy. But from a more strategic standpoint of what is it that GNOME needs to do, I think that there's a lot of things left to do, right? So I talked about usability today and a few of the videos that they've put together. There's a lot of things that customers want, like they want integrated media, they want integrated burning, they want automated downloading of images if you plug a camera, automated device detection, right? So some pieces are there, some pieces need polish, but I think we're on the right track to get these things done.
Okay. Yeah, is there something you want to say to the community?
What community is this one?
It's here the German community. So.
But the German IT community, German Linux community, German
Linux community.
Oh, well, I have an incredible respect for everything that, I mean, ever since my young days, I remember how all these hackers that will come from uni-something.de were making all these amazing hacks. Was it uni? No, what was it? No, what was the domain name? I forget what the domain was. Oh my God, I can't remember the domain names. But all my youth, I remember like all these German hackers, like, God, what a brilliant hack, right? All the TCP/IP hacks that we're doing here, all the early Linux stuff that was done. So I've always had a lot of respect for the hackers here. You guys are having a tough competition now, I have to say, from the Hungarians and the Czech, which are also amazing hackers. And well, now it's everybody in the world, right? The Japanese, the Brazilians, anyways. But you guys were very early on the game, and you guys got to define a lot of what we use today as. And we just assume it's there, right? Like X Windows and all of these things. So.
Okay, then thank you for the interview.
Oh, thank you to you.